Well, welcome to the second half of A Voice of a People, live here today with Linda Sims on WGA Talk. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download a free app on any electronic device. The name of the app is called TuneIn. Type that in and search WWGH. Okay? App Store or Play Store. This is where you can find the app. And I think you can just Google to download and search WWGH. Okay? Or you can call in during a live broadcast like now today by calling 740-383-9944 if you have any questions or would like to make any comments. Well, today is November the 30th. Some of you well know this is the last day of November. 30 days, half September, April, June, and November.
That's right.
I remember that from what, first, second grade?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
that.
I used
that poem.
Yes, all the rest have 31 except for February.
Okay,
which has 29. 28 during leap year, right?
Yeah, I don't know about leap year. How much?
Something like that. Anyway, we remember most of it. We'll put it like that. Okay. 31 days until 2023, believe it or not. Oh, my. I don't know what to expect. Anything new and indifferent, I mean, you're supposed to learn something new every day. And if you haven't, I think you've wasted a day, right? Okay, now we have 25 days before Christmas. Have you even started your Christmas shopping? Have you even begun your list? I know I'm far behind. I haven't done any of that, right?
Nope.
I have not either. But we still have time.
Wrong. The best thing to do for Christmas is buy it all during the summer.
That's too soon. That takes away all the hustle and the bustle and just the delight and joy of
being
Christmas
in a
shopping.
Department store.
Yeah, Christmas shopping. And I used to do that, Christmas shop early, but then I'm sitting there, I already got my Christmas shopping done, like that was some big thrill, right? But the thrill of it all is just going out to the stores, meeting and greeting people, snow falling down, you know, and you're cold and shivering, got your hat on and your galoshes and your coat.
Now you really get into it.
Yeah. I mean, I remember days like that when we used to shop and look forward to getting out.
I remember
there.
When Dad and I used to go buy a tree. We would buy a real tree, you know. Mm-hmm. Didn't have the artificial thing. And that was so much more fun than the artificial.
Yeah.
But you know, the real tree, it sheds needles and all that, you know.
Dries out really fast if you don't take care of it.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to put some water in it.
Well, let me share with you those who favorably support this program, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street of Marion. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of Marion. 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Free Produce is their ongoing announcement. Will take place December 17th, beginning at 12 noon till 2 p.m. Please mark your calendars. Last one of the year. Yes, because we'll be looking at 2023 in 31 days. Wow. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner, Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. Thought for today, true winning is accepting, not resisting. And it really had a lot to say about that, so let's look that up one more time. If I can get to the right spot, right? All right, here we go. true winning is accepting, not resisting. If you ever find yourself defending a position, explaining why, or justifying anything, it means you have been defeated. It means you have not been able to accept the other's point of view, or the fact that you may be wrong. Fear has conquered your mind and your heart. Your defenses are up and you are running scared. It's not that the other person has conquered you. It's the self-created fear that is in control. Until you can accept the other, you don't have to agree. And you are not threatened by the other. Your victories will be delayed. It's a funny old world when true winning is accepting, not resisting. When victory is found in the wisdom to stop fighting and to begin engaging. Thought for today. Hopefully you found something in there that you could relate to. And maybe you can share with other people. My guest, Jeff Porter.
Yes.
Author of Expressions of the Last Days. Welcome back to the second half. We're live on Facebook.
I'm here. I see myself over there.
People
can
saw
they
you.
See me?
Yes, they can. And people saw you come in from your coffee run.
Yeah. Oh, they did.
Thank you.
I had to have something today.
Thank you for coffee. Thank
it
you
was
so
badly
much.
Needed.
Oh, I understand. I understand how that can be. Yes. Now, as we were saying, Jeff is the author of Expressions of the Last Days. We are in Luke 21.
Well, I thought I'd switch over to Revelation 14, where we were talking about Babylon.
All right.
And it started down here at verse 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, to every kindred, tongue, and people. It's very interesting that that's in there, because it says in Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world.
Right, right.
For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all like a perfect sequence. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the power of his judgment is to come, and to worship him that made heaven, earth, and the sea, and all the fountains of the waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, fallen, that great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. I really think, I used to think that maybe Babylon was America, but I think It just has to do with the unbelieving world, how Satan, you know, is the god of this world. And this financial system that we have today will fail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I figured it probably would. With God's judgment coming, his perfect judgment will bring it to an end. And a third angel followed them. Well, that has to do with the mark of the beast. But Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wrath of her fornication. And it falls. And so the Antichrist comes along because, and it's the same thing that happened in Germany. You know, the German people said they didn't think that anything like that could happen to them back then. They're about like us, you know. They had Germany was fairly prosperous, but they had problems with all these sanctions that were put on them after World War I, see. And eventually it brought them to abject poverty, and you know, it made them bitter, and the world didn't realize, the rest of the world didn't realize what it was causing. It was causing these people to want to rebel, you know, against the world. The world wasn't going to show him, cut him any slack. But, you know, nations have to forgive each other after wars. I mean, they just don't really have any choice. You can't go around hating and being bitter towards a nation that used to be your enemy forever and ever. You know, got to forgive them at some time or other. The United States, a lot of people complain that the United States went in and rebuilt Japan. You know, and rebuilt Germany after World War II. I think it was the best thing we could have done. because, you know, we don't want them to be our enemies in the latter times here, you know. But that's what happened in Germany. Is the reason why Hitler was able to take over is because he was promising a better tomorrow. Even though they were under those sanctions, he said, well, we'll just go ahead and take over those countries that are putting sanctions on us and destroy these contracts, because there's no other way to do it. They couldn't get, when they would go to, let's say, United Nations, I don't know if they even had a United Nations back then, but when they would go to big meetings where they were talking about, would you please lift these sanctions off of us? We are really suffering here. You know, we need to get our economy back up and get our factories back up and get everything moving again. And the surrounding countries would not do it because they were bitter. So there's a great lesson in forgiveness. It could cause, that bitterness could cause a much bigger problem, you know. Do you watch some of these shows where people kill somebody, you know? A lot of times it's because they're bitter about something, you know, or it's either love or money that they kill for. It's too bad.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So we have a world that's going to face the world that their financial system is what God calls Babylon. Now, what, as Christians, most Christians know what Babylon is. It's a country that rose up during ancient times during Israel, and God allowed Babylon to conquer Israel because Israel was just sinning too much. And so he rose up Babylon and conquered Israel and took the king Nebuchadnezzar. He came in and he took all the good guys, you know, the athletes and the scholars and everything, took them to Babylon.
Right.
Kept a bunch of other people, took them with him too. And they stayed in Babylon for 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Babylon was considered a very, very hedonistic country, very worldly, typical, really, you know, but powerful.
Right.
Very powerful nation as far as their military was concerned. But after Nebuchadnezzar passed away, the next king had the handwriting on the wall, Belshazzar. He was having a big party, and he had taken all the compliments and cups and dishes and saucers and all the gold out of the temple, and they just put it in a big building there. They didn't really have any use for it. And he's just sitting there with all these women around him and all kinds of wine and everything. And that's when he saw the handwriting on the wall, the finger writing on the wall. And so he didn't know what it was. You know, it was in a foreign language. So they said, go get Daniel. Daniel can read that stuff. So he went and had Daniel come up there. And Daniel said, it says, mine, to kill a partisan. What's that supposed to mean? And he said, your kingdom has been weighed in the balance and found wanting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been stretched too far. And it would be conquered, therefore, and handed over to the Medes and the Persians. Oh, okay. Well, he's so drunk he probably didn't care anyways. But eventually that's what happened. It became got into a big war, and Babylon got divided. And that was as far as Babylon itself. Being a united country, that was the last of it. See, so that's why they use terms in the New Testament and say, you know, this place is like Babylon, you know, very hedonistic, very worldly, very dependent on their military and their industrial might, and it doesn't last forever.
Right. It doesn't. And I know last hour you were talking about the seasons, the tornadoes, and
yes.
You read Luke 21 about the perplexity of nations, and we also looked at that word, and perplexity meant inability to deal with what's going on in the world today, nor can we understand what's going on in the world today. So it's hard for people to relate, you know, even though we're trying to make them understand, well, we're headed for the end of time, you know.
Right.
And the time is desperate right now, and you need to be saved. And even though a lot of people are resisting this message, that's why God saves us, so
they don't want to hear any bad news.
Right, right. And that's good news, though. See, that's what they fail to understand. That is good news.
Yes.
The gospel.
The return of Christ is coming.
Yes. Yes, his second return. You know,
yeah.
His second return. And then I do remember that we studied forgiveness. We talked on that. And God wants us to talk a little bit today about guidance. And like you said, be ready. These things are coming up on the earth. We're witnessing them day by day,
yes.
Hour by hour. Something devastating is going on somewhere in the world.
Yes.
It may not be all here in the United States. And Jeff has shared, you know, how people want to ask, how can I be saved? So, Jeff, could you get Psalms 25? And read 4 through 12. Now, this is about guidance. How can I be saved? How can I accept what's going on in the world today? How can I relate to these things that are happening? Even though I may not want to believe it, I may have to believe it, or I should believe it. How can I prepare my family or my children, my neighbors? What can I do? You know, God saves us so we can help other people to be saved. And that was Psalms 25.
The whole chapter?
It starts with verses 4 through 12.
Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art God, the God of my salvation. On thee do I want all the day. See, it was 1 through 6, or 4 through 6.
4 through 7.
Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember that thou for me, for goodness sake, O Lord.
For goodness sake.
I should have had my reading glasses on that one.
I'm going to have to buy 3 pair of glasses to have here at the station. Jeff's going to put 3 pair in his car in that glove compartment, so he'll have them when he comes, right? Maybe you should bring a pair to just stick in your Bible, and it can already be here. So we're going to try to work that out. Between he and I think we should be able to accomplish that. What do you think?
That's why I got a whole bunch of them at home, because I keep losing them.
But when you started that out, Psalms 25, it says, teach me, show me. So God, he understands that we can't do this alone. It's going to take him to help us be prepared for his second return.
That's
you
right.
Do not want to be on this earth when God returns and you have not received him as your Lord and Savior from sin. Because at that moment, it is too late.
Yes.
It is too late.
Amen.
You know, he said, what will I find you doing when I return upon the earth? Running scared, hiding up under the bed, you know, hiding in the closet.
Yeah.
What will I find you doing? Will you be trusting in me, in the things that I have shared with you, especially my apostles and my disciples that are out here that have come to you and talked to you about who I am and about the things that are coming on the earth and the things that you should be doing to get ready.
Yeah, you come across a radio, a podcast like this, and just turn it off. You know, I don't want to hear that stuff. Well, you think that turning it off or going somewhere where, you know, never going anywhere where there's any Christian anything, that's going to cure your problem of being agitated by the gospel. But eventually, it'll catch up with you.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And what God is asking us to do is walk with him.
Yes.
He's saying, walk with me through these last and evil days. Walk with me. I do not expect you to walk alone. Because we are not, you know, God will put His supernatural onto our natural. Things that we cannot accomplish, things that we cannot endure. We can't endure anything without the grace of God on our lives. And like Jeff was reading, His mercies.
Yes.
Tender mercies and His loving kindness. We need those things. And the next scripture is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Guidance. Those who honor God will be given wisdom and will receive His guidance day by day. He's not saying, I'm going to lead you today and not two or three days down till next week. No. Day by day He will lead you and guide you. Proverbs 1 and 7. You have that, Jeff?
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction.
The beginning of wisdom. That's what God is saying. If you allow Him to guide you, He will give you wisdom and
yes.
will receive His guidance day by day. And people think, well, I don't believe in God. You have no wisdom.
Yeah.
That's what He's saying, right? You have no good sense if you do not believe that there is a God on the throne.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Right. And we're not calling you that. The scripture says that. Jeff is reading out of the Holy Scriptures. And we don't want to be fools. You know, when I first read Proverbs, I realized how foolish I was. Thinking I knew something. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And we should, when we read God's Word, we should receive God's Word. God's words are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth and purified seven times. His words are pure. They're true and they are holy and they are life. His words are life. Also, Jeff, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. God is saying, walk with me.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths.
Yay!
Yes, that's a very well-known.
Yay!
And it's true.
Yes. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. Not just some of them. Not just the ones you want to call Him up and say, well, Lord, I need you today. But all thy ways, you know.
Do you know anybody that they call on the Lord when they're in trouble?
Yeah, me.
Pull him out of their pocket, and then when everything starts going right, put him back in the pocket. And
right.
Go about your own business again.
Well, didn't we all do that when we didn't know any better?
Yeah, I think when I got saved, though, I knew that, you know, you got to stick with the Lord because I just don't have enough wisdom. You know.
Well, I'm glad you got it that quick. It took me years to get it like that. I mean, Lord.
I have a friend that does that all the time, takes him out of his pocket when he's, you know, in trouble and then puts him back in. And then when he gets in trouble again, he pulls like he's a rabbit or something.
Right.
You know.
Right. And I get that. I do. I get that. Maybe not that extreme, because that's kind of extreme right there. But I've tried to depend on the Lord, because as Jeff is the author of Expressions of the Last Days, it's not a doomsday prophecy, even though he has that reputation. People want to call him that. But he's warning. He's like John the Baptist was warning that Jesus was coming.
Yes.
Right? And Jesus did come.
Yes.
Whether you believe it or not. He did come. And Jesus said, you know, after He was risen from the grave, after 3 days, walked on this earth for 40 days, and the disciples saw Him ascend up into heaven. And the men that were around them, the angels came and told them, don't be, you know, disquieted or sorrowful. Because just as you saw Him go up, you will see Him come back to the earth again. So He is coming back.
Yes.
Right, Jeff?
You know, not that many people were aware of Jesus' birth.
Right.
During that time either, you know.
Right.
We had the three wise men, and we had, you know, Herod, who was really angry
right.
about it, you know. And just a few other people, the shepherds, who were despised by the world.
That's true.
So, you know,
right.
It wasn't a great advertisement or anything.
Just the signs in the heavens.
Yeah.
They declared him, you know, and just like coming back. He said, I will return and I will receive you unto myself. Why did he come in the first place?
To deliver us from our sins.
To deliver us from our sins. He is our Redeemer.
That's what the whole thing's about. But 1 Corinthians 1:18 says the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. To us who are again saved, it is the power of God.
Mm. Unto salvation.
Yep.
Unto salvation. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to escape these things that are coming up on the earth? Now, we may not be able to escape everything that's happening, like the storms, the wars and rumors of wars, the pestilence and disease, you know. But every year, we don't know what 2023 is going to hold.
Nope.
We didn't know COVID was coming. COVID came. Still around. But what's going to happen in 2023? What will that hold for us? And of course we want to think, well, 2023 got to be better than 2022, but maybe not. Maybe not. So where do you find yourself? Do you find yourself walking on your own, or do you find yourself walking with God?
That's right. Lean not to thine own understanding. I think that's the part where, you know, people stuff him back in their pocket. And don't want him around until something happens that they can't get out of, then they pull him out.
Right.
God is their fire department.
True. Lean not into thy own understanding, because we have to understand God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. You know, he's not on the same level that we are on.
My thoughts are not your thoughts.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Well, that's a good thing. I'm glad my thoughts are not his thoughts.
Or my ways his ways, right? He wouldn't be God if his ways were like ours, right?
No.
He wouldn't be the all-supreme being, but he is that, you know. And he is coming back because he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, you know, if it was not so, I would not have told you. He said, you know, I will come again. He said, one day you will be with me, because I will come again and receive you unto myself. And he is coming back again.
Yes.
He is coming back again. So, who do you want to walk with? Who are you with? Here comes 2023. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I'm just saying most of the world wants to go their own way. They think they can find happiness by making up their own path and everything, you know. And they might be able to find some happiness for a while.
For a while. You're right, for a while.
Every one of us has to walk through death's door, though.
Yes.
Eventually, you have to give an account.
Yes, you do. Yes, you know? Do. Wow. God's saying, who are you with? Who are you walking with? Are you walking with me, or are you walking with yourselves? And this it's like a version of Walk With Me. Remember that song? Walk with me, Lord, walk with me, walk with me, Lord, walk with me, while I'm on this tedious journey, I want you, Lord.
Hey, you can sing. I didn't
know
that.
Walk with me. I love that song. There was a deacon in our church who used to sing that song all the time, every time he got up to give a testimony, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk with him. And this piece that I picked up says, we were singing for our lives, one of the choir members says. And another found that her chronic pain subsided when she sang the song. The choir wasn't just singing words on a sheet, but offering desperate prayers for redemption. Our Redeemer lives. Mm-hmm. He's alive. Now and forevermore. Do you think people believe that Jesus came here and went back to heaven and now, you know, he's dead? He's not coming back. Do they really believe that he's still in the grave?
Well, they didn't find his body.
Right. The grave was empty, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. He is alive now forevermore. Wow. Do you want to walk with God or do you want to walk by yourself?
Remember that song, He's Alive, He's Alive.
Yes, yes.
He's
yes,
alive right. And I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide.
Yes.
That's a good song.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. A lot of good songs about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that He is alive. And that not only that, He loves us. John 3:16. What does that say, Jeff?
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And then you got 3:16, 17, and 18. For God sent it, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Might be saved. That's the gospel.
He did not come to judge us the first time He came to save us.
Yes, He did. Now, when He come back, He's
that's going to be a little bit different
he's
then.
He's not coming to save us no more, right?
No.
So you better get on that bandwagon right now, because He's not coming back.
But I think
for
He will use us Christians to warn the world.
And what are we doing?
That's what me and you are doing.
And there are other Christians that should be doing the same thing, warning the world. Because once He comes back, it's going to be too late. And people might say, well, I didn't know, Lord, I didn't hear. Yes, you
I
heard.
I remember standing in the lobby at church, and there's a bunch of women over here, and they were talking. And I had just introduced my book to the church, and they said, you know, they didn't know much about Bible prophecy because I guess they just weren't interested. I don't see how you cannot be interested in Bible prophecy, but I said, I guess we're going to have to start getting interested.
Right, right.
I would say so. I'd say things are kind of late right now, you know. I wouldn't want to go into the tribulation not knowing anything about it.
Well, what's important is that you receive Him as your Lord and Savior from sin, whether we know anything else about it or not. Because tribulation time is going to be too late.
We could still get saved during the tribulation, but it's...
You think so?
Oh, yeah. But it'd be a lot more difficult because, you know, the world will turn on you then. That's what will happen, you know. We'll receive a lot of persecution during that time.
And that's what the Great Tribulation is about, right? It's about just that thing.
Shaking things up.
Right. But don't depend on that. Because we don't know for sure, even though I've heard that before too.
People put off accepting Jesus as their Savior now because they say, I can, when I'm on my deathbed, that's when I'll accept Him.
Right.
So I could live most of my life without having Jesus interfering with my life.
Right. Eternal life is a part of our gift.
Yes.
From God. God is working on us now, empowering us to regain self-control. Say no to worldly passions and redeem us for life with Him. Mm-hmm. That's what God wants. He wants not just your life with Him now, but forever. Which begins on this earth, right? By walking with Him,
yes.
You know, believing His word, heeding the voice of the disciples that are on the earth. And there's many disciples that walk this earth. I know someone asked me, do you think there are other disciples since, you know, the 12 that were in the Bible? Yes. We're all disciples that have received Christ. Jeff is a disciple. He's on here as much as possible warning people about what's coming on the earth. We all witness it.
Every day.
And that this will ultimately, eventually, come to a chaotic end.
I think another reason why the United States is in serious trouble is because of the rise of crime. Oh, my.
We'll see people getting more and more ungodly, so therefore, crime is increasing.
Becoming lawless.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't want...
Lawlessness.
Defund the police.
Whether they do or not, lawlessness will not stop. It's just on the rise. It's on all these things that Jeff has been reading to you in the scripture, starting with Luke 21 today, and Revelation, the end times. God is saying, walk with me. Put your trust in me. Because mm-hmm. He's the only one who can save us through yes. these hard times. So what if we do have to go through tribulation? Will we be saved? Only if you're walking with Christ. You can't walk through tribulation alone.
It's true.
You cannot. It's hard enough on this earth to go through great trials and tribulations, and we're trying to do them in our own strength and in our own might with our own words.
That's why I think a lot of people are scared. Americans saying that we must have a pre-tribulation rapture because it seems like everything in America is based on comfort, you know. And that's because we've been so prosperous for so long.
Right.
But if you go through a time, and if you're a Christian that's gone through some poverty, gone through some hard days, you know, when you had to go down the street and get a meal from the local school where they were giving free meals out that day, and those are nice, you know. I just have to give them all the credit in the world, those different organizations that give out free meals and stuff. They're just the greatest.
Right, right.
But if you've never had to do that, never had to, it has quite an impact on you, having to do stuff like that.
True.
And it makes it, the idea that going through the tribulation is really more palatable that way, because you've been tested, and you feel like that you can go through that, you know. And I think a lot of Christians these days have never had to face any poverty, they've never had to face any hunger, and they cannot even begin to imagine what it would be like during the tribulation, you know. And they don't think that, have you ever had a time when you kind of ran out of money and didn't have enough money for food?
Have I?
Yeah, I figured
so
you had.
How many times, right?
Okay, then God comes along and gives you a bunch of food and money and stuff, and, you know, isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is, and I'm telling you, when you brought that up, when I think about way back in the 70s, and I was a single mother trying to raise two daughters, it wasn't like it is today. There is much more to give and to receive than it was back then. It was like you could only have so much, but now we have food banks all over Marion, and you're allowed to go to more than one a month. But back then it was like maybe a couple bags of groceries, okay, once a month. What, are you kidding me? You know, and you're working. There was no I will give you food stamps because your average income is below the poverty level. You know, there was no food stamps, you know, no check in the mail because you were not receiving child support. So people, they have to understand, they're still rich compared to other nations.
Yeah, you can get government assistance. I get assistance for my heating bill.
Yeah.
Because I went there, I said, it's getting out of control. I mean, for one thing, I'm like a couple thousand dollars behind.
Oh, my.
And so they took a look at that, and they said, well, we'll fix you up here. And they fixed it up so that I pay so much a month, and then they give you a little extra to put on what you owe, and pays it off eventually.
Right, yeah. Right.
But I don't know what people do in foreign countries.
Right.
They just out of luck, you know.
Right.
I don't know. What do they do when they don't, you're in a country that doesn't have any help for elderly people? You know, we could put our old elderly people, when they get really bad, you can put them in a nursing home with Medicaid and Medicare, but they don't have that in other countries.
And, you know, even though we are the richest country in the world and the most powerful country in the world, sometimes, you know, we take too much for granted.
Yes, we
do.
You
know, the goodness that God has shed upon this nation, upon the people that dwell here. And no wonder everyone wants to come here to America, where they feel like they're safe and there's plenty here. You know, plenty of food, health care, clothing, you know, your necessities, your bare necessities. And how many countries do not have their bare necessities?
That's right.
As you're talking. So, not only that, God still expects us to receive His word. which is the only mm-hmm. truth, and walk with Him.
Yes.
Through these, it's going to get worse.
Ain't going to get no better.
Because one of those scriptures talks about the persecution of the Christians, okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of places like that.
Right, right. So, that's not going to save you. Just yeah. because you call yourself a Christian and you go to church and you may not have even received Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin yet, but you're in the church. That will not save you.
Yes, just attending a church is not going to save
you. It's not going to save you.
You need Jesus in your heart.
You need Him.
Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Saved from what's coming on the earth. It's coming.
Be a person that's searching for truth.
Yes.
You got to search for truth. You can't just sit there. You want to end up in hell, just do nothing. You know, I got my degree in mechanical engineering, and I'm working at, you know, Hyundai or GM or something, and plenty of money coming in. You clock in and clock out. Everything seems so wonderful. There comes a day when all of that just doesn't work.
Yes, that's
true.
You can't
depend on this system forever, you know.
No, you cannot.
You're lucky if it works for 20, 30 years, you're really lucky.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, you're going to start noticing, like, your parents get old, your aunts and uncles get old, and everybody dies around you, and things change, you know.
Yes, it does change.
Your kids move way far away, and you find yourself alone.
Right.
You start wondering, well, where is God? Well, that's good that you do that.
Right.
I'm not saying that, you know, you should have already known that or anything. That's why I talk about Bible prophecy. It's supposed to shake you up.
Yes.
Make you realize that there's coming a day when none of this system is going to work for us.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to have to depend on Him entirely.
Amen. And there's no better time to start that than right now.
Yes.
Than right now.
Start walking with the Lord today.
Start walking with the Lord. Get in His Word. Read
That's right.
His Word. You have to understand that Scripture presents the most powerful force on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
A force that transforms and leads us towards spiritual maturity. Let's open it up and read it out loud, asking God to ignite our hearts. He promises that the words He has spoken will not return to Him empty, but will accomplish what He desires and achieve the purpose for which He sent it.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives will never be the same, and that is in Isaiah 58 and 11.
Mm.
Isaiah 55 and 11. God's words are sure, they are pure, they are life.
Yes.
You know, you can trust God. You have to trust God to walk with Him. You just, I'm going to walk with the Lord today, and then, you know, you forget about it later down the road. You know, I'm like, okay, I try to do that in the morning, Lord, but even before I go outside, please go before me and make that crooked places straight. You know what I mean? Lead me and guide me. Be on the radio with me and Jeff.
A lot of people are afraid of what their friends are going to think, you know.
That's another concern. One that we have to grow up. We have to grow
yeah.
up and become adults because they need God as well. You know what? We are so out of time. We're almost off the air. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People live here on WGH Talk with my friend and buddy, Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days. Hopefully, I'll see you tomorrow. Until next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for holiday fun. For 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, reading, Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus.
The first time Mary Ellen's ever done this, and this is going to be great because this was a seminal year for Mary Ellen, 25 years since being appointed Treasurer of the United States, 50 years since getting into politics in 1969, and having two schools named for you this year. That's a big year, Mary Ellen. What a year it's been.
Right. It's been a good year.
It's been a good year, and we're going to roll into the Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, Mary Ellen Withrow.
Dear Editor, I'm 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus, Papa says, if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? Virginia O'Hanlon, 115 West 95th Street. Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant, in his intellect as compared with the boundless world around him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. And you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would the world be if there was no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there was no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight, the external light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus. But even if you did not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus. But that is no sign that there is no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn?